We're going to go ahead and get started then. I'd like to welcome everybody in attendance to the South Jordan City Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, October 22nd, 2024. We have five of our six commission members present this evening. I unfortunately don't know what Mr. Wimmer's status is, so he may join us at some point this evening. I'd like to thank staff for being here this evening and for the effort that they've put into preparing the reports that they'll present this evening. I'd like to also welcome applicants and citizens from our community who have joined us in the auditorium this evening and online to participate in these proceedings. Our first item of business is to approve our agenda. I believe I need a motion on this.
I have a couple of questions because it is an amended agenda where an item was pulled. And there may be residents here to want to speak, and we don't normally allow citizen comment. And I know because we're pulling the agenda, but it was noticed what we can allow because we won't be getting a staff report on an item that's going to be pulled from the agenda. So should we, obviously we need to approve the amended agenda removing the item, but do we allow a citizen comment period for people who have made the effort to come out if they so wish to speak on any item similar to what the city council does?
Commissioners, thoughts?
I like that idea.
Okay.
Madam Chair, then I would like to make a motion, please, that we approve tonight's amended agenda, which does remove item number I-1 from this evening's agenda, but we add a citizen comment to be added under item after item F, summary action for citizen comments, where citizen comments for any public comment up to 2 minutes for any item that is not already on the amended agenda.
Commissioner Gedge, can I make a motion to amend that to they may make comments up to 2 minutes related to item I-1 that they were noticed?
Yeah, I accept that.
Okay, so we have a motion, amended motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
Okay, Commissioner Catmull, I heard you first. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Nay. Would you like to state why?
This is going to get noticed and they'll have a chance to speak. I know they're here tonight, but I feel like they're probably going to come back again. So we're just asking them to speak twice. The only reason.
Okay. So noted, the motion still passes. Our next item of business is to approve our minutes from the October 8th, 2024 Planning Commission meeting. I assume everybody's had an opportunity to review, comment, anything that needs to be noticed.
Yeah, Madam Chair, we need to make just one modification. In the reference when we were talking about the commission responsibilities, there's a reference to the ART committee, and that should just be changed to ARC, A-R-C, committee. And other than that, I have no other concerns with the minutes and move that we approve those as...
I have one thing I would like to strike from C, item C, at the end, where please strike the statement that says both Commissioner Catmull and Ryan Luce agreed that enforcing intent language is challenging. That I purposely omitted it from on the meeting, even though I had sent that in email earlier, because my voice really didn't come through. I just kind of like, on the comment. So I think that would be a better statement. Other than that, it looked great.
I will be abstaining since I was not present.
Okay. So Madam Chair, I move that we approve the minutes from our previous meeting with the two modifications as listed by myself and Commissioner Capel.
Okay, we have a motion, any discussion? All right, I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Staff, business for us this evening.
You received my email and the amended agenda. The purpose of pulling it from the agenda is to get more information from the applicant. We appreciated all the public comments, and we're sorry for any of the confusion of pulling it tonight, but we thought it was better to get more information so that when it is re-noticed, we'll notice the same people that were noticed. I'm talking, by the way, about the former item I-1, the Best Dental Office Land Use Amendment and Rezone. When we have had a chance to work with the applicant on that information, he wasn't going to be here tonight. He was going to send a representative. So when we get a chance to get more information from him and to have a discussion, then we'll renotice it and rewrite the staff report to reflect that new information. Any questions about that?
Were there two applicants on that item? When you said one applicant, was there two items on that application?
Two applicants?
Yeah, because of the merging of the two properties. I thought I saw that.
So the way that it works is Mr. Bess is the applicant,
okay. And
he has an owner's affidavit from the other property owner that allows him to represent them in the rezone.
Okay.
So there's one applicant.
Okay.
The person that was going to come on his behalf apparently has an ownership interest in the property and the project, and so, but still Mr. Bess is the applicant.
Okay, great, thank you.
All right, any other staff business? All right, commissioners, any comments, discussion?
No, I just want to say thank you for excusing me from the last meeting. That was an unexpected absence, and I appreciated everyone's support on that, so thank you.
All right. We also typically discuss attendance in the upcoming meetings at this time. Does anybody anticipate an issue with the November 12th meeting?
Or the last meeting, December 10th, right? Our last two meetings of the year.
We'll have two more meetings this year. Okay, great. And we will plan on having those. All right, per our amended agenda at this time, I would like to open the floor to anybody who's joined us this evening that would like to speak to or provide the commission with information regarding the item that has been removed from our agenda, the Best Dental Office Land Use Amendment and Rezone. We have received emails. Those are a part of our public record and have been reviewed by us, so we do have that information. But if you would like to address the commission at this time, we'll invite you to come forward. We ask that you state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you'll have 3 minutes to present evidence and testimony to the commission on that particular item. But as Commissioner Bevins has pointed out, this item will receive a public hearing when it is officially on our agenda, potentially in November, but not necessarily. It will be noticed the same way, 10 days in advance of when it does come to this commission for a vote.
Commissioner Hollis.
Yes.
Since the motion was made, I've been frantically trying to look through my code. This was not something that I expected to come up. As far as I know, you have the right to open this for general comment on any item. But this matter, as far as having them come up to comment on a specific item that has been removed from the agenda, is the same thing as having a hearing on the item that has been removed from the agenda. And since the matter is no longer on the agenda, and since people relying on the amended agenda were told that this matter would not be coming forth, including the applicant, I question the propriety of going forth with a hearing on this matter in their absence.
If it were just general comments then without that specific instruction, or would you like us to?
I'm not even positive on that, but I don't dare, based on just my gut, I don't dare tell you can't do it. You probably can. But where this has been noticed up to say, hey, if you've got comments on this item that's been removed from the agenda, I think that that's opening it up for hearing on the item that's been removed from the agenda, and the amended notice said we're not going to be doing that.
So could we re-amend the agenda?
I
to say general comment.
Think I have a motion.
Second.
Okay. So with that, at this time, we are allowing general comment of up to, I believe it was 2 minutes.
We have a vote.
Thank you. We have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We have an open comment period where if you've joined us and you'd like to address the commission, you have 2 minutes to do so. But we would like you to please state your name and where you reside for our records. We won't be answering any questions, however, after this time or making any sort of response. We will just receive that information. Okay. Since I think your motion was to provide that courtesy to those who took the effort to come and show up this evening, and I'm not seeing anybody in our audience, I'm taking the opportunity. I'm going to close public comment, and we will resume.
Oh, it's already been closed. It's already been closed. Right. You've already closed it. You already closed public. That you took that opportunity to close public, and then they rose. So now we wouldn't have a motion to re-approve that. Sorry, I mean, I know it's a technicality.
Do I have a motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I move to reopen the public comment. It, with the, just not part of the motion, but with the comment with that motion to be more timely if you're going to speak before you, our chair closes this comment period.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
A second.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? All right. General comment is open. Please come to the podium.
Hello. Thank you very much. Sorry, I haven't been to one of these before, so my ears aren't quite attuned to the language, so appreciate it. I just wanted to come and speak. My name is Stephanie Hurst. I live at 9832 South Costello Court. I'm a pretty new member of the neighborhood, and I just wanted to point out that, you know, as we were looking at houses, we saw across the street that this plot was listed on a plan for green space in the city. Now, of course, we know that nothing's set in stone, but that was something that we considered and is part of the general South Jordan city plan, or city goals, I should say. And so I am against putting in the dentist's office there. I think it also goes against the Shields Lane corridor project that I attended another meeting about. There's a, you know, what should we do with Shields Lane corridor? And putting in commercial space, I think, goes against the design. You know, it's going to inhibit what they can do with that plan. And it sets up just a poor precedent for both 9800 and 1300 West to include commercial space. So, and I will plan to come back to the next time that we can speak about this, but I appreciate just the chance since I did make it out here tonight. So thank you.
Sherry Maddle, I reside at 1270 Lampton Road. I came to also to speak against this. Several years ago, this same plot of land, there was somebody was wanting to put a dance studio on it, and I know that the neighborhood kind of activated. I wasn't really part of that, but I know that it took place because my next door neighbor was highly involved in it. And basically what happened as a result of that is that the city bought the land, and I was under the impression that we were promised a park that has never shown up, but we're being patient. And one of my questions, and we tried to find out things yesterday. I came to City Hall yesterday and I talked to planning and zoning, and then they said we had to go talk to the recorder, and none of the people that we were supposed to be able to talk to were available. I found that very disappointing because I was feeling like there's a timeline because you were hearing it today, and I didn't get mailed it, which I think I might be within the 300 feet or maybe just barely outside of it. I didn't get notice of it, so I only ever noticed it when the sign went up and that there was something going in there. Anyway, we were always promised I was under the impression that that was going to be a park sometime, and I did too think with the Shields Lane corridor stuff that maybe it would come to pass then. And so I was surprised, but we were surprised that the city had sold this property without us being given notice of it when in our understanding that it was supposed to be a park. And then my other question is, if this gets rezoned office, whatever, building, I can't remember the name and I don't have all things in front of me, and it's agriculture, what's going to happen with all the other properties that are along 1300 West that are agricultural, but the residents are aging. I'm sure some of them have passed away. Oops, sorry. Anyway, my concern is that those might get rezoned to not be residential too, and I think it will ruin the... Thank you for listening to us.
Hi, my name's Vivian Wilson. I reside at 9811 South Temple Drive. And I'm a resident of the Lambton Farm subdivision over there. And I just didn't know if you guys had the history. I did send a letter in, but I just wanted to make sure you had a little bit of the history that went on with this, because I was part of it when it happened a number of years ago. So the property, it happened. It was up for sale 10 plus years ago. Originally, there were three lots in the property being considered. If I remember correctly, the water company owned one lot. Fred Lampropoulos, owner of Medical, owned one lot. Both Lampropoulos and the water company were contacted by the owner of the third lot, and I don't remember his name, to combine the three lots for sale. And according to what we had heard, the prospective buyer of all three lots was the dance studio that Sherry mentioned. The zoning would need to be changed from residential to commercial to accommodate the building of a commercial business on those lots. If that was sold and purchased, it would impact not only Shields Lane, but also Temple Drive. My home is right on Temple Drive and be directly across from the proposed building site, which I do oppose also. Temple Drive is zoned residential. We were opposed to the zoning change from residential to commercial, not only because it would impact our neighborhood, but it would open the door eventually to commercial building down the road on Temple Drive. Because of the overwhelming support of our neighborhood community, Leona Winger at the time in the city council and Fred Lampropoulos, the night of the city council meeting was standing room only. The mayor also said that the proposal would not be heard and the proposal was just shut down. We worked with Leona Winger of the city council and Fred Lampropoulos of Merritt Medical to have the city purchase the property. We understood that the city purchased the lots, which would turn into a city park. Commercial sites were not to be an option. We just wanted to be able to keep South Jordan beautiful, and we just really would have liked a park built. Now we're saying that, you know, somebody I talked to said that we wouldn't be able to do that because someone else purchased it. It's really sad to hear. But we, you know, we just want to be able to, we'd like to have, you know, if it gets to a point that we could build a park, that's what we would really like. You know, we need more open space. And we just really didn't want to have to bring it up again because we've already dealt with this once a number of years ago, and we thought eventually it would be turned into a park. So we just wanted to be able to share that with you and let you know that it's not just something that we're just coming up with. We dealt with this, and we had the whole community fill up the city council room at the time, which some people, I know that I talked to someone, I don't see him here today, but some people are aware, but some people are not. So I just wanted to share that with you and hope you consider that coming up. Thank you.
Was there anyone else present that would like to speak during our public comment? Okay, I'm going to close public comment, and we will continue by moving on to our administrative public hearings. Our first item this evening in this category is item H1, the Daybreak Village 11A Plat 8 Amended Subdivision Amendment. And I don't know who presents Daybreak when Greg isn't here.
Miguel.
Oh, he did tell us that you were starting to transition into this.
Yes, okay. Yes, I am. So thank you, commissioners. So this is the Daybreak Village 11A Plat 8 Amended Subdivision Amendment. I think I need to.
Don't read his email.
So this is amending, or this is including lots 671 and through 675 of this subdivision. So total acreage right now is 4.49 acres. It's residential development opportunity with land use designation, and the zoning is PC Daybreak, planned community. The current use is single family homes. And so it involves these five properties, as you can see here. Essentially, what the application is doing is adjusting the lot lines between all the lots because the current product of housing there does not fit where those property lines are, so they need to be moved to fit those that product of housing and have those setbacks met. Two of the lots already have homes constructed on them. So staff finds that there is good cause for the amendment since the lot dimensions must be able to accommodate the footprint of the current and future structures and their minimum setbacks. Staff finds that the proposed amendment meets all the provisions of the South Jordan Municipal Code in regards to amendments to subdivisions. Staff further finds that the amendment is consistent with the PC zone and the Kennecott Master subdivision requirements, and all state subdivision review requirements have been followed. So staff concludes that the proposed amended subdivision, remains consistent with the community structure plan and the Daybreak development plan. And staff recommends that the Planning Commission take comments at a public hearing and approve the subdivision amendment.
Thank you, Miguel. It's showing that the city is the applicant for this, or at least it was submitted by, I'm so sorry, I read that wrong. Are you aware if somebody from Peregrine Consulting is here this evening?
I am not sure.
Do you have any? Do you have anything you want to add to the staff report? I would need you to come up to the podium if you do. And then, no? Okay, then we'll do public comment and note that you're here in case we have any questions. At this time, I'd like to open up the floor to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, you've got 3 minutes to address the commission and present your evidence or testimony. We'll offer those in attendance in person the opportunity first. Any takers? All right, we'll go online and extend the same opportunity to those who have joined us online. We would just ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. Is it single screen? There's nobody else? Okay, then I'm not seeing anyone. Correct? I'm looking at the three. All right, then I'm going to close public comment and bring this back to the commission. Commissioners, questions for staff or the applicant?
So one question for staff. So Miguel, in your report and in your what you just presented to us, that two of the properties already built on that were adjusting the line lot. How, I guess the question is, how could those be built maybe if they weren't within their the current lot that we're adjusting this evening? Is that just something that needs to be more carefully monitored by the building permit process that the city has?
Yeah, I'm not really sure how that happened. Perhaps the applicant can explain that a little bit.
Yeah, I'd suggest you ask the applicant. I have a little bit of background as well, but I'd love to hear their response.
Yeah, I would like, if possible, if the applicant would answer that, to invite them to come to the podium to address that concern. And if there are other scenarios in the city where we might see examples similar to this in the future, just because if we might, however we act this evening, we're setting kind of a precedent for that type of action.
Hi, Randy Smith. I'm with Fieldstone Homes. We're the home builder on these lots. And good question. Thank you. So, unfortunately, I mean, we wish that our construction tolerances were tighter than they were, but we missed it by 10 inches or so. And then, unfortunately, we set one, and then we set the next one based on the last one and kind of propagated the problem. So we just needed to make a shift and get those lot lines centered between those homes so we can get their side yards built and set up. And, I apologize. It's an unfortunate miss on our side. It's unfortunate how tight these Daybreak homes are to their setbacks. Usually we have play, right? But it's cozy in there. So does that answer your question?
Are both of these homes still owned by the builder, Daybreak?
So we own, some of these homes have been sold. I think two have been sold and have.
But the two in question?
The two existing homes.
That you're adjusting lot lines for?
This amendment is for five lots?
Mm-hmm.
So all five lots are amended. I believe homes are built on all five lots. Two of them have been sold to new homeowners, and the other three are still owned by us. I'm pretty sure that's the current status.
Do we need to be concerned about the two homeowners? Are they aware?
They are aware. They're signers on the plat, actually.
Staff can... This is unusual.
When you take a plat to the county, they double check and see who should be signing it, who owns the property in the plat. So they will not let you record it until those owners are signatories to the plat.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been open with all of the current owners and the people under contract to buy the other homes. So they are aware.
So the 10 inches, was this caught during construction, during inspections, or how did this?
It was during construction. It was late in construction. It was basically when we went started to go do side yard fences. And that's when we realized something was off.
Okay. So was it like the engineer that came and flagged the lots that was off by 10 inches, or how did it happen? Like when they come out and it's stake for digging, is that how it happened? Was it staked wrong, or like where did the...
Yeah, it was, yeah, the foundations were set.
Okay.
Were set off. And like I said, there's five homes, and so some of them are off just a little. I think the most was 10 or 11 inches. But as daybreak, daybreak's pretty tight in there. So it varies across those lots. But it is, there's a lot of people we look at. Did the surveyor stake it right? Did the foundation group build it right? Did a lot of questions. And it's sometimes hard to reconcile that because it's later in the game. The stakes are gone. They're pulled out of the ground, right? Things like that. So we're trying to do the best we can with what we've got.
And I'm assuming you guys have a process in place to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Absolutely. You have no idea.
Oh, trust me, I do.
Yes, absolutely, we do.
Completely.
Very frustrating.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions I can answer for you guys?
No, but Mr. Simonson, I have a question for you. Anything we need to consider or be concerned about from a legal perspective?
I don't think so. I'm concerned that the city report indicates that two houses have been built, and we're now hearing that five houses have been built. But I don't think that ultimately that affects the application if all of the homeowners are required to sign the plat.
And do you feel like any sort of qualification needs to be made in our motion asserting that that happens, or does that have to obviously happen?
No, I think it's on the record that there's a, that there is, I mean, the report said two and that the applicant has now said five.
And that every owner has to sign for this to be recorded properly?
Well, that's not only a representation of the applicant, that's just a matter of law.
Okay.
I have another question. Is there a reason we don't have a copy of the actual amended plat? Like, I see we have the amended plat, but we don't have the official one that shows signatories or anything that we usually see.
I'm not entirely sure why that was not included. A lot of times these are multiple pages. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times on the daybreak plats, you have the signatures on the front page and not on the following pages. So I'm guessing Greg included the relevant page.
I'd also note that aside from the mayor's signature, the last person in the city to review the plat in great detail is me. And that's whether it's an original plat or an amended plat, that comes across my desk, and we'll make sure that it's all signed off correctly.
Okay. Down here, any other questions? Mm-hmm. Discussion? Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
Based on the staff report and the testimony provided this evening, I move that we approve file number PLPLA 2024-00177, the Daybreak Village 11A, Plat A amended subdivision amendment.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? All right, I'll second that motion. Ms. Valdez, please.
Commissioner Gitch?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Okay, this item passes 5-0. Thank you, Mr. Smith, for being present this evening. We always appreciate that. All right, our next item under administrative public hearings is the Daybreak South Station Plat 4 Preliminary Subdivision. And Miguel has our staff report.
So thank you, Commissioner. So this is the Daybreak South Station Plat 4 Preliminary Subdivision. It's located generally east of the Salt Lake B Stadium. So it's currently vacant. So approximately it's 0.962 acres. It's part of the Daybreak Planned Community Zone. So Perigee Consulting submitted the subdivision application, not necessarily to create new parcels, but to create or dedicate new right-of-way to the city. The existing streets of Split Rock Drive and Centerfield Drive are going to be planned to be extended further to the east, past Granville Avenue. So staff finds that all PC zone and Kennecott Master subdivision requirements will be met regarding this preliminary subdivision plat. All state and local subdivision review requirements have been followed. The proposal meets the city ordinances and complies with the general plan. And staff finds that the extension of both streets will enhance the traffic circulation within the urban center of the future downtown Daybreak. So staff concludes that the proposed subdivision is consistent with the Daybreak community structure and the South Jordan general plan and meets the standards for review for subdivisions for the PC zone. And staff recommends that the Planning Commission take comments at a public hearing and approve the subdivision.
Miguel, with something like this, does it also come with a bond to build that road when the time comes? Who's financially responsible for that?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Jeremy, would you know that?
Yeah, with those improvements, we will be collecting a bond to ensure that it's built to the South Jordan City standards.
Is that something that needs to be recorded, stated here, or is that just standard practice?
Usually, I wish Greg was here, or Steve, I don't know if you remember this, but as part of the, when we receive the site plan, we get the bond development. We don't have the detail at this point in time. I'm not as familiar with when we collect that improvement.
It's subdivision or of the adjacent parcels. Depends on what it is that's built adjacent.
Questions, commissioners?
I was under the impression that they were building this road right now. Are they just laying pipe or anyway?
It's hard to know off the top of my head what is being done in that area because so much is being done in that area. We would usually have someone here from Daybreak that would have the day-to-day update of that. And they had some changes in employees, and we don't have someone from Daybreak here tonight.
My understanding is they will be constructing this road because it will be accessing a temporary parking lot on that side of the road.
Oh, okay.
On that side of Granville.
Where on this map is the track station?
The new one is right kind of in the at the midpoint
between those two roads,
right on Granville Avenue.
Okay.
And they've actually set the canopies for that new track station, so you can see it now.
Will that open before the ballpark opens?
It will open, yes, before the ballpark opens, but I don't have a specific date for when that is going to happen.
I have a couple. So, because we are dedicating these to the city, and you said that they're going to flow to a parking lot, and they're now it's going to be city-owned streets, what type of street parking will be allowed on these streets, especially with the event? Just from previous experience at the current B Stadium, there's a lot of on-street parking, and what allowances are there for street parking and enforcement of that?
On-street parking is allowed as long as it doesn't create a safety hazard. So if we see that it gets out of hand and obstructs traffic or emergency responders, then we will do parking restrictions to make it safe for the public. But at this point in time, I'm not aware of any restrictions we're putting on these roads for parking.
And when we heard a similar item at our last meeting for the roads going westbound, there was a home plate drive, which isn't presented tonight. So will that home plate drive, I guess, end at home plate and not extend east like these two under our review this evening? Or is there going to be a third road, an extension of home plate drive?
Sorry, I'm not following you on home plate.
Home plate drive was on the north side of the stadium, what we approved last meeting to go into Mountain View, the soon-to-be access road or frontage road. But that, there's not an extension of that. We're not reviewing what, you know, we did do a center plate drive, our center field drive last meeting, and a home plate drive, but now we have a future split rock drive and not a home plate drive. So will there be a third drive coming in the future?
No. If you look at oh, what is it? I'm not zoomed in far enough. It's just two roads.
Okay.
Split Rock Road, Split Rock Drive flows into Home Plate Drive.
Okay. And then will there be, like, on those accesses with, is that Granville and the tracks line, will there be traffic signals or will it be the crossing of traffic so people could go east-west over those, over Granville or the tracks line? Or will there be ride-in, ride-out only?
It'll be full access with traffic signal and the traffic signal.
Okay, great, thank you.
I'm curious why Split Rock doesn't go all the way, you know, over to Lake Run.
It will. It's just not in this phase.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It will eventually connect there, but
I assume
not,
it would.
Not certain the timing of when that connection will happen.
Okay.
And would there be, a future dedication to the city, similar item, when that extension does occur? Past what's presented here this evening?
I believe it would be. I'm not aware of it being coming to it. I don't think there's been any approval for that phase.
There hasn't, no.
Yeah.
We don't have plans for anything north besides parking lots that are temporary, okay. Mostly. If you'll recall this, and maybe you don't, but years ago, Daybreak did overall road dedication plats of the major roads that included through this area. But as those plans have come together for everything that they're building, including the ballpark, there was a need to move those. So those were actually vacated by the city council. And as the plans are coming together, then they will, like any other development, be required to dedicate unless they're private, which sometimes they are. In which case they'd still show it and it would be built to city standards, but it wouldn't be dedicated to the city.
That's all I've got.
Okay, this time I'm gonna open up this item to public comment. Do we have anybody online that would potentially want to comment? Okay, no takers. I'm gonna close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, any further discussion needed? Okay, I'm ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion. I motion that based on our discussion tonight and the staff report that the Planning Commission approved project number PLPP20240041, subject to the following, that all South Jordan City requirements are met prior to recording the plat.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? All right, I'll second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollist?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
And Commissioner McCatmull?
Yes.
Okay. This item passes 5-0. All right, we're going to move to our legislative items. We have one under our amended agenda for this evening, which is a text amendment amending section 1630.040. And Mr. Schaefermeyer has our staff report.
Thank you. Hopefully this is fairly straightforward, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. The proposal before you tonight is to further limit grass in commercial development. The change is, you can either find it on that first page of the commission report, or you can find it in Exhibit A to the ordinance. Nothing else in the outdoor landscaping section of our water efficiency standards is changing, just this. So the proposal tonight is to prohibit lawn outside of active recreation areas, and that would be in commercial, industrial, institutional, and multifamily development. Usually multifamily development is considered commercial because of the common areas, and a lot of times they're leasing companies, et cetera. So the lawn is defined as ground that is covered with grass or turf that is regularly mowed. This was all part of an ordinance that we got from Jordan Valley, trying to translate their local scapes program, which is a fantastic program, to actual code language, which is challenging. So then active recreation areas are areas of the landscape dedicated to active play where lawn may be used as the playing surface, sports fields and play areas. So there's other information or other requirements in here that talk about a certain size of grassy area being that open to recreation. What we've seen as staff is that a lot of commercial businesses are already doing this. So we don't view it as a burden on anything that, that our businesses and landowners would want to do. We will follow up with Daybreak about their standards as well. But from what we've seen, especially in the urban core, you're not going to see a bunch of grass unless it's specifically for play or recreation. One concern may be in multifamily. You know, why wouldn't we want open grassy areas in multifamily? We do, as long as they're made usable. The smaller the grassy area, the more water that gets sprayed on driveways and sidewalks. So that's the intent here. The impetus for this, of course, is the annex property, Kennicott, as they are not currently in the Jordan Valley service area, they have to be annexed in. So as we've been, as the city has been talking with both Jordan Valley and Kennicott, this is one of the items that came up of something that the city could do in order to further these conservation goals and make sure that we have enough water in our annexed area. I'm happy to take questions after the public hearing.
All right, let's do our public hearing as Mr. Schaefermeyer suggested. Anyone who'd like to speak to this item may address this at this time. I know several staff members are city residents, so they are always welcome, obviously.
Yes, please.
Okay, same to our online members. All right, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, I actually do have several questions, and pardon my ignorance, it's all about it's water rights. So
it's totally okay.
Is land not required to carry water rights with it? When we annexed this portion of land, why did it not come with their own water rights? And if they didn't have water rights, why is there not an impact fee to help get those?
So it is coming with some of its water rights. Mm-hmm. I am not familiar with all the ins and outs of that. We haven't gotten to the development agreement stage with Kennicott. Mm-hmm. So some of this is preliminary. I don't know if Jeremy has further insights into that. They work with building our water tanks and our consultant. Jordan Valley is also, I'm gonna forget the verbiage, a water, I wanna say wholesaler, but that doesn't sound, they sell water. And so in certain areas where you don't necessarily have the water rights, then you can buy the water from Jordan Valley. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, you covered it well, just that Kennicott land is not currently in their like service area, and so this change will help make that happen so that they could be included in that service area. And then it's like, water gets pretty complicated with the different blocks of water that are mm-hmm. sold to the city.
Yeah, so obviously the intent would be not to jeopardize the water that we already get from Jordan Valley. South Jordan's one of the few cities around that doesn't have its own water resources. That has to do with contamination from Kennicott from years past of groundwater. So a lot of cities have a combination of water resources that include buying from a wholesaler, wells, that type of thing. South Jordan's in a unique and sometimes unfortunate position of relying wholly on Jordan Valley for our water resources. That said, we work very closely with Jordan Valley to make sure, you know, it's one of the concerns when you've all heard it, right? When development comes, where's the water? Where's the water? They project out decades and are constantly reassessing where our water is coming from and how to provide. And the goal, again, is for that per capita water use in this city to go down so that we can keep water rates reasonable.
Who defines an active area? Is there like a frequency associated? I know you mentioned
the code does, the definition okay. there.
Perfect. Okay. Yep. Great. right?
Mine's kind of along with that. So, you know, the active play area with the multifamily residential that could fall under this would be pet relief. Would that fall under active? It's not really active play, but it's active. Exactly. So, and that's a concern we had with a property, I believe, recently, just east of Bangor Highway, where they would have to walk, you know, over a quarter of a mile just for grass for a pet relief. And so would that be considered that, or do we just need to consider verbiage to allow that type of grass for a pet relief for these multifamily?
Yeah, you could certainly recommend that be added if it's part of an overall recreation area. And again, and I let's see here. So if you go to looking for the 8-foot requirement. Landscape requirements, B, subsection 6. It says, lawns shall not be installed in park strips, paths, or on slopes greater than 25% or 4.1 grade. And then this is how you get to what could be considered a recreational area, an active recreational area. Lawn area shall not be less than 8 feet wide at its narrowest point. To the extent reasonably practicable, lawn shall be free from obstructions, trees, etc. So we would look at the site plan. Is there roughly an 8x8 area of grass that doesn't have obstruction that's sort of designated for whether it be pet relief or other things? Would that grass be allowed? Sure.
Great. That's all I have.
All right. Anybody else?
So does this, I know this may not alter it directly right today, but does this do anything for artificial turf or lawn? Like,
it does not. Okay. It doesn't change our standards for
only
that.
The landscaping requirements, and landscaping has to be organic, or I can't remember the exact term, but
yeah, so
fine.
Yeah, to get to the actual landscape requirements, you have to go to the specific zone where that's at. So, for example, in the residential zones, 50% of your yard area needs to be landscaped. Of that 50%, it has to be live plant material, whatever. So we actually were looking today at an artificial turf, and it would come to you as a conditional use permit if they wanted to exceed that non-live plant material, or actually not exceed it, but come under using artificial turf.
Great, thank you.
Have any more questions? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I just have a statement. I understand that, well, actually, maybe this is a question. Are we required to comply? Is there a threat again this time? With the park strips, there was a threat to double our water rate if we didn't adapt.
I see, a threat from Jordan Valley. I'm not threatening anyone. I think I even put in the staff report, just for the matter of record, that this applies when you make a change to the property. So when you develop initially or you come and make a change to the property, that's when it applies. I'll just use your verbiage. The threat would be that they can't annex into the service area.
Okay.
So.
All right.
And just for the record, there are no other water suppliers, wholesalers, vendors, other than Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District, that we would be able to use as a competitor, leverage, alternate?
No.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And you know that some of the resources they're pulling off of are the same resources that other districts are pulling off of, so it does get tricky, right? I will say one goal, obviously, with the Kennecott property, and this is coming from them, but we would have this discussion when the time is appropriate as a city, is to be kind of on the cutting edge of water conservation and other things, so that it's, as they work with their consultants, trying to figure out what that actually looks like for a community, and the land use patterns would be similar to Daybreak, which I noticed was on the state's water conservation website, and it listed Daybreak, Utah. So I emailed them and said, could you please change that to South Jordan, Utah? So it's being put out there as a community that's trying to conserve water.
Is there, I guess I do have another question. So as we remove some of these surfaces, or we maybe change the landscaping requirements, especially for maybe larger areas, like commercial and mm-hmm. industrial, is there any kind of concern around like urban heat? You know, like you build a lot of rocks and you retain a sure. lot of heat and you increase that. Does the city think of, I mean, do we need to think about that as we go forward with these type of changes and adding a lot more land and how to monitor maybe unintended side effects?
Yeah, what this doesn't do is prohibit live plant material. Okay. One of, as we've discussed with Jordan Valley, one of their big concerns is not necessarily landscaping and watering, but grass is really inefficient when it comes to watering. And so their goal has been, that's why park strips were sort of the threat, right? Because, I mean, just go down any street after somebody's watered their lawn and the gutter is full of water. And that's because we don't have great sprinkling systems that only contain the water to the park strip area. So that's why they've sort of focused on, you know, there's other water districts in the West that are doing more extreme restrictions. They've focused on how can we allow people to have some turf in their property, but otherwise conserve the water. So to your question, if the lawn is replaced with plant material that eventually grows and covers the ground, it's watered differently with the drip system, so you don't have that water waste. And the water requirements, if they're the correct plants, would not be as much. Same thing with our tree requirement. And I will say, it is a challenge. It's a challenge to get people to either to put in anything besides all grass or all rocks. And so it's something that we do struggle with.
Okay. One of the things that I ran into this week or recently was there might be a resource for the city to consider is, I think Google has a environmental impact program that the city can onboard into, and it uses satellite and other things to talk about emissions and to deal with climate and other factors they share with it. That might be an interesting way to observe the city through holistically as we develop and inform our code going forward.
Okay.
But it does take like a city representative to onboard onto that.
Sure, and I'm sure it comes with a cost. So we are going to bring to you next year an amendment to our general plan. There was a requirement, I think it was two sessions ago at the legislature, that we have a more robust water conservation section of our general plan. So we'll take a step back, look at what we've got, look at what maybe we need to add in order specific to water next year.
Okay. All right. Mine's not really a question. It's more of a statement. I'm going to make it now since it, I think, pairs nicely with what you've just said with the urban heat, with the changing, with being mindful of other impacts that we could have. You actually called this out in the staff report, but this change is meant to help develop effective, well-balanced, and consistently applied ordinances and policies. And you indicated that when residents are willing to get rid of their grass, they then go to all rock. And they are not actually in compliance with code, as you can see. Is there something the city can do to help with that? I find it aggravating as neighbor after neighbor removes their park strip that the city provides them the rock material for free, but has no follow-up to ensure that they plant the plant material that's required.
So if they are getting rock from the city, the Public Works Department, and I obviously don't represent them, they are, my understanding is they are working with them to look at the specific plants that they're planting and follow up and inspect. So obviously,
something's whether those not happening then.
Or some people aren't using the rock program. I don't know. Certainly, sometimes after they are planted, they're not maintained in order to keep them alive. I mean, this was a concern when these water efficiency standards were initially adopted. Grass is easier in some ways to maintain and look green, and not easier, but there is a learning curve with the alternative to that. And I think it will take time. We certainly have code cases where we are working with people, and we have a variety of responses when we tell them about the landscape requirements. We also, the majority of our landscaping, our new landscaping, is obviously going in daybreak. And because of the involvement of the developer in their standards, we have a much easier time enforcing these standards in daybreak than we do throughout the rest of the city. So from, you know, a per capita water standpoint, and are we installing landscaping that is going to be attractive over time, on the whole, I think we're doing okay. We have not come to real conclusions about park strips throughout the city, and that is a continuing challenge.
And I have voiced this concern when Public Works has been here, but even city park strips are not complying the code, particularly near my house.
Ah.
So I see it daily.
Yeah, yeah. So we did adopt a bit ago a park strip master plan. And so the city is using that plan to, as funding is available, go and take care of park strip that are owned by the city.
Presented to us.
I will say the challenge that we continue to have is finding people to maintain our park strips. It's contractors are really hard to find that are willing to do that for a reasonable cost. You know, we hear a lot of times, let's privatize these maintenance things, and you still got to have a company that's capable and willing to do it. So I will say our parks department struggles with keeping up with all of that as well.
Okay. Commissioners, anything else for Mr. Schaefermeyer? All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
Any other discussion on this item? All right. I think I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please. I move that based on the staff report and our discussion this evening that we, Planning Commission, recommend to the City Council that it approve Ordinance Number 2024-24, amending Section 16.30.040 of the South Jordan City Municipal Code as presented.
Okay. We have a motion and a discussion. Okay. I'll second that motion. Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Gedge.
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bivens?
Yes.
Okay. This will move now to City Council with a 5-0 positive recommendation for adopting this ordinance. Thank you for presenting this evening. We do have a couple of items under other business. The first is commission bylaws. It didn't get added as an official item, and I would like to propose that we wait until our next meeting to tackle that so that we can have it up on the screen live. I tried to convert it to a Word document and it was a little bit messy, so I'll make sure that gets over to city staff by next meeting and then we can tackle
it. I have it in a Word document and I believe it may have been shared with some members of city staff to forward to other members of city staff.
Okay.
I gave it to my son to forward. I will send it since we're on the record now. I will send it to the entire commission and everybody on our distribution email.
That would be great.
And in the Word document that I forwarded last week, so that way I was able to find the one that we referenced.
Great.
So that they can have it available for our next meeting.
And so with that, can we put that under other business for next time? And that specifically we will discuss the first section, which was chair and co-chair appointments and responsibilities and potentially the addition of any other appointments that we think would be appropriate for this commission.
With regards to that, I just want to mention to make sure to send it to our city emails rather than our personal emails.
Did I accidentally?
Yeah.
I apologize.
That's okay.
Okay.
One other item, just that also the calendaring, because there's a section in the reference document talks about how to set the calendar for the next year, which would be one of the things that we just need a reference
before 2025, along with the election of the chair. Those things that happen early in the year. So probably in our November meeting rather than December.
Sounds good. Yes, let's plan on our November meeting. All right. Commissioner Catmull had a question that came up last time that we wanted to discuss just briefly with staff.
Yeah. Probably.
I don't know about your amended agenda. I don't see it under other business on my amended agenda. Have we got different amended agendas? Because I don't have anything under other business than adjournment.
Maybe a question, and I don't know this question. Have we often asked what's on the next meeting and stuff like that in this item? Mm-hmm. And are we being particularly strict today versus the way we have in the past? Or do we just need, I just want to be consistent. So I'm happy to do it after the meeting. I'm happy to do it during the meeting.
Original either under other business.
I don't know what you're bringing up or talking about, so I don't. My comment is not context related. It's just that if we're going to discuss other items of interest to the public, that we need to get it on the agenda, and for some reason, and my other concern is, as far as the commission rules, that's something that definitely needs to be on the agenda. And you apparently, Commissioner Hollis, you apparently thought that was going to be on the agenda. And so maybe there's some kind of disconnect between what you're asking and how it's getting on. And I want to just make sure there's not a disconnect, because you've asked now for it to be on the next agenda. And I want to make sure that it gets on the next agenda. Do we need to do anything else?
I think it was mentioned at the last meeting.
It was. Because of the same comments you made last meeting as well.
Yeah, so just sitting in the last meeting, I think it was mentioned. And I think Greg was supposed to put it on for this meeting. Now, I don't know. I don't see that it was on the original agenda nor the amended agenda. So I don't think it was ever added.
Do
you need a motion? What are you asking? I'm so sorry.
I just want to make sure it gets on the agenda so I don't have any question. And so
I can follow up with Greg and let him know.
Greg is out of town.
Okay.
And so if you would. I guess. Thank you.
So do you want your
Madam Chair, just to be super, super safe and so it's in the minutes and the recording, I move that we direct staff to add to our November 10th, 2024 meeting and each meeting thereafter, Planning Commission, as an agenda item, under other action items, Planning Commission will discuss the creation and adoption of Planning Commission rules and procedures. Period. Sorry.
Discussion on the motion? All right, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Greg saw the agenda. He reviewed it. He must have just failed to.
And I didn't bring it up simply because I thought there would be a very timely, time consuming item this evening. So I decided not to draw attention to that.
We thought there was
too.
So
I'm okay with that. Mr. Simonson, I think with this other item, it's just clarifying something that we asked last time to make sure we understand correctly what is happening with the short term rental, what the path forward will be, and if this commission will see that item. We don't want to make any conclusions. We don't want to have any editorializing. We just want to know what that path is.
Specifically, are you okay if I ask that question? It's really more of a what items come before us question.
Go ahead. But let's, as we're going forward, try and get matters on the agenda. But please proceed.
Okay. So in the last meeting, we were just talking about the changes that are coming in that area. And my assumption was that Title 16 and Title 17 text amendments have, maybe not by code, but by tradition, have come before the Planning Commission for feedback and ultimately recommendation. Now, while short-term rental, most of it is not going to happen inside 16 and 17, I believe there's going to have to be a removal of the restriction on short-term rentals on accessory dwelling units in Title 17. And I wondered if, because of that, will that item come, that text amendment in particular, be a focus for the Planning Commission to contribute on?
If there's a change to Title 16 or 17, you will see it. It will come before you. I don't know what the final direction will be. There's a wide variety of things that can happen with that. It may or may not require a change to Title 16 or 17. Okay. But if it does, it will come before you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right. Commissioners, anything else? All right. I'll make a motion that we adjourn for this evening.
Second.
I think I heard Commissioner Gedge. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll see you next month. Thank you, staff.
I'm beeping here.